Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. You know Soho and Nolita and Loisaida, but Manhattan could someday be home to Lolo, lower Manhattan. Columbia University's Center for Urban Real Estate has proposed building a land bridge to connect lower Manhattan to Governor's Island, thereby opening up the most precious of commodities, Manhattan real estate. Spearheading the proposal is Vishan Chakrabarty, Holiday Professor and Director of CURE, the Center for Urban Real Estate at the Columbia University Graduate School of Architecture, Planning, and Preservation, and he joins us now. Professor Chakrabarty, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
First off, before people get too excited, this new neighborhood, Lolo, is still just an idea, right? If it proved, it might take decades to complete.
That's right. But that happens in our city. We're building cities, right? We're building neighborhoods right now that are taking decades to complete. So,
is there some pressing need to extend Manhattan? Why did you propose this?
There's a pressing need to grow Manhattan in ways that are sustainable, that are transit-oriented, that provide us mixed-income neighborhoods, give us new waterfronts. And you know, we can talk about the growth needs, but also there are tremendous environmental needs. Hurricane Irene was a real wake-up call to how vulnerable Lower Manhattan and other parts of the city are. And we think this proposal would go a long way towards protecting New York against storm surge and sea level rise.
How would it do that?
There's a lot of data that we're finding, and as actually being projects that are being built around the world, having to do with creating new barrier islands and what's known as soft edges, which essentially are sort of marshes, which absorb a lot of the energy of a storm when a storm comes in and actually sort of naturally flood. So there's a lot of answers in nature itself about how to build the edge of the water.
And listeners, give us a call. Tell us what you think of extending Lower Manhattan. Is this a good idea? Would you be interested in becoming an inhabitant of Lolo, of Governor's Island, 212-433? WNYC 433-9692, or post a comment to our show page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And there is a photo up there, an imagining of what a land bridge to Governor's Island might look like. So you could check that out and call in and talk to our guest, Vishan Chakrabarty, from the Columbia University Graduate School of Architecture, Planning, and Preservation, who's one of the folks who's come up with this idea. 212-433-9692. Actually, is this a team-generated idea, or is this something you dreamed up?
No, very much so. This started actually with some very brilliant students, architecture students and two real estate development students, and I co-taught that with a well-known architect named Laurie Hawkinson. And so really the students and the two of us started with the project, and now the center is really bringing in legal experts, engineering experts, to try to formalize it and bring it past the notion of a student project.
And when you talk about using something like 23 million cubic feet of landfill to extend Manhattan out to Governor's Island, does that mean you're envisioning something more than what we think of as a bridge, like the Brooklyn Bridge or the Queensboro Bridge, the Ed Koch Bridge? Is it more of an extension of the whole lower part of the borough so that there are many streets going between Governor's Island and what is now Lower Manhattan?
Yes, it's much more than a bridge. It really would be a sort of fluid piece of land. Once it was built, you'd never really realize that it wasn't kind of always there, in the sense that the 23 million cubic yards that you refer to, what's critical to understand about this is that the Army Corps of Engineers by about 2035 are going to pull 190 million cubic yards of dredge from the harbor to improve shipping lanes. So right now they're paying a lot of money to ship that dredge out into landfills in Texas and Pennsylvania and places. We think we should recycle that dredge material and use it here. Two things to kind of understand about this. One is that about 10% of Manhattan today is created land. The shoreline of Lower Manhattan has changed many, many times over its history. The second thing is that—
including Battery Park City
exactly,
down there.
Exactly. And Battery Park City in the same way isn't really thought of as a land bridge. You cross streets to get to it, and it seems very much a part of our city now. The other thing to understand is that a lot of very environmentally sensitive countries, the Netherlands, Tokyo, are doing the kinds of land creation projects that we're talking about. Tokyo Bay is actually building about 100 times the amount of created land that we're proposing in this project. And so, you know, what we're actually talking about here pales by comparison to what many cities around the world are doing.
It's so interesting that you brought up the environmental global warming relationship, because we had guests on the show last week and their envision map, which almost seemed to be the opposite. It had the bottom of Manhattan trailing off into marshes and wetlands to help prevent against the flooding of the buildings near the shoreline. You're saying build more land with more buildings. How does that accomplish the same thing as building out wetlands?
Well, I'm saying to do both things. Building out those wetlands is what we're proposing at the edge of the new land that we're talking about. But what's critical is, how do you pay for all of that? And this creates so much economic value that it actually gives us the financial wherewithal to pay for those new soft edges that would protect the city.
Because Governor's Island real estate would then become Manhattan real estate, and we know how valuable that is.
Right. And the other thing, the key thing to understand about the environmental argument, and this is something that's true of all of our work at the Center for Urban Real Estate, is we believe cities are the silver bullet to the economic decline, the environmental decline, and the sort of decline in equity that we see around the country and around the world. That if you look at cities today and the growth of cities, they're actually faring much better than suburban or rural locations. And so the notion of building more Manhattan and concentrating people with subways and smaller apartments instead of McMansions, that means that we're all living in a much more environmentally sensitive way.
Steve in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
Well, I was just curious as to why dual land bridge from Manhattan as opposed to from Brooklyn, just because it's geographically closer.
Right. It's a great question. You can take a ferry from either now.
Right.
And it's quicker from Brooklyn.
Right. It's an excellent question, Steve. And our team actually did look at whether one could do this from Red Hook. And we, in our proposal, we do have a bridge to Red Hook from Governor's Island. But the reason we expanded the land between Manhattan and Governor's Island as opposed to Brooklyn is that the creation of more Manhattan has so much more economic value at a sort of square foot level that it allows us to pay for the project and then some, actually throw money back into the city's budget in a way that an extension of Brooklyn would not.
Just this is just a purely reality-based economics thing. They're just you can't sell, you know, East Red Hook the way you could sell lower Manhattan.
Well, you look at Red Hook, which is a great neighborhood, but actually has a lot of development capacity, so it's not clear that you need to create more there. Whereas Manhattan, it's extraordinary. I mean, if you look at a neighborhood like the High Line, which I was very involved in, that neighborhood has been sort of created out of whole cloth, and it's clear that when you build more Manhattan, people come.
Barbara in Manhattan, you're on WNYC on the idea of extending Manhattan down to Governor's Island. Hi.
Hello. I believe I heard you say, how would you feel about being an inhabitant of Governor's Island? And it's not possible. Part of the agreement that the federal government made with New York State and New York City when the Governor's Island was given to New York was that it not be used for residents. There are a few exceptions. There are artists who are living there under certain grants, essentially giving them time to work on art projects. But it can't be used simply for residential use.
Thank you. Is she right on paper?
Yes, Barbara, she's absolutely right. And that is part of the deed restrictions that the island was conveyed to the city under. This whole proposal has a number of regulatory hurdles. There are a lot of issues with filling in water for land, and the issue Barbara mentions is certainly a hurdle. This would take an enormous federal, state, and local effort to pull off, and it would mean changing or altering a number of rules that exist today, and we're very cognizant of those. And those rules were put in place for good reasons, but we think there's a lot of reasons now to change those rules in light of what we're talking about.
So how long would this take to actually get it done if, you know, the government at various levels was to take your proposal as seriously as possible?
Well, I think in China it would take about a week. but here...
but that's because the autocrat can say, do this.
Right, which we luckily don't have here. But We probably think there's a sort of 3 to 5 year time frame to get through all the approvals and so forth. And then after that, it would be built incrementally in phases as the dredge came out of the harbor and would be built into this created land that we're talking about. We're extending the 1 and 6 line. All that would take time. The image that we're showing is a full build-out of 2035. And again, I know that that seems like a very long time for most normal human beings, but for us planners, that's actually sort of a normal time frame. Hudson Yards is being built out in that time frame.
With memories or nightmares of what Robert in Manhattanville is going to remind us about as a barrier. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you, Brian?
Okay.
If the speaker could address an issue which has to do with PCBs and other pollutants embedded in the riverbeds. If I recall, Westway was stopped because of that negative impact on the striped bass population. Is the speaker accounted for that? And apropos of that, does that mean that Jerry Nadler's dream of a rail freight tunnel, Mayor Hyland's dream as well, wouldn't have PCB disturbance, which mm-hmm. is one of the big negatives posed against it?
Robert, thank you. And people with long enough memories will remember that what was supposed to be the Lower Manhattan extension of the West Side Highway, Westway, was defeated. And maybe there were other reasons people didn't want it, but what technically legally got it defeated was the idea of this dredging up of PCBs during the construction process.
Well, it's an excellent question, Robert. And, what happened with Westway, in terms of my understanding, is that actually the environmental impact statement didn't properly disclose the impact to the striped bass breeding grounds, to which Mayor Koch famously said, "Let them get a motel in Jersey like everyone else." But in this proposal, the PCBs, there's no question that there are toxins in some of this dredge material. There are some very interesting pilot studies going on right now in Jamaica Bay with actually how these dredge materials can be put into these very environmentally sensitive tubes to create these islands and so forth. The Dutch, I had a very interesting meeting with the Dutch consulate. And, the Dutch society is extremely environmentally sensitive, have figured out new techniques for doing this kind of land creation that we think could address a lot of those issues, PCBs and so forth.
We're just about out of time.
Sure.
And Jamaica Bay is a whole other story. I was just out there the other week, and, man, what a beautiful place
yes.
it is along the Rockaways there, once you go over the causeway into the Rockaways. But it is so undeveloped. It's such a blighted area in many respects.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that people would be flocking there and spending a lot of money to put other kinds of homes there. But in any case, the Center for Urban Real Estate at Columbia Group is working on a report on New York's development in general 30
yes.
years from now, which is something of a partner to the mayor's own Plan YC 2030, where he expects another million or two residents, and how are we going to be environmentally sustainable in 2030? So in our last minute, just put your Governor's Island land bridge plan into a larger context of how you see New York decades from now.
Sure. Plan YC, which is a great effort by the Bloomberg administration, basically calls for the city to grow by about 11% by 2030, about a million people. What's interesting is if you look at the Regional Plan Association says that the region in that same time frame is going to grow by twice that rate, which means that by and large we're building sprawl instead of building tall, right? And the carbon footprint implications of that are very severe. So we need to find places to grow New York City generally, and we need to do that at major transit hubs. So, we've talked about Long Island City and Queens Boulevard and other places that could actually has the capacity for a lot of density. This Governor's Island proposal in part comes out of that because there is resistance to a kind of Manhattanization of the boroughs, and I understand that. And in some ways, this helps to alleviate the development pressure that other places might feel because they want to keep their identities in their specific boroughs.
And there we leave it with the director of Columbia University's Center for Urban Real Estate. He is Vishan Chakrabarty. And he's proposing the idea of a land bridge from Lower Manhattan to Governor's Island. You can see a rendering of what this might look like in a photograph on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will wrap up the show today with the latest installment of our Brian Lehrer Show Holiday Gift Guide. Today, we're going to take your calls with your gifts of experiences rather than things. So if you're giving somebody an experience for Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa this year, call us up right now and tell us what it is. Or if you've ever given or got an experience as opposed to a thing, call up and let us know what was great, or for that matter, what was bad, along these lines, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692.